1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More than $388 million worth of key construction projects around Wisconsin are getting the green light from the State Building Commission. They include new buildings and upgrades at state parks, prisons, universities, and other state-owned buildings. There'll be security improvements at Taycheeda Women's Prison. Work will also get started on a new Wisconsin History Center on Madison's Capitol Square. Tomorrow is Prescription Drug Take-Back Day in Wisconsin. People who have old prescription drugs sitting around can bring them to one of 140 events happening around the state. There are also almost 500 drop boxes where people can leave their old medicines anytime. Attorney General Josh Call says Wisconsin is consistently one of the national leaders in the safety effort, and it makes a difference. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has unveiled the draft of their sharp-tailed grouse management plan for the next 10 years. The plan will be open to public comment until November 17th, and residents can also provide comments during a public meeting on November 8th. The plan would focus management on the existing core of grouse in northern Wisconsin, develop cooperative partnerships between public and private organizations, and implement habitat strategies to maintain population. The Chippewa County Board released a statement regarding the investigation into Sheriff Travis Hakes today. In the statement, the county board attempted to clarify what they called confusion and misinformation about the process of the investigation, saying the appropriate legal process has been followed and the county board itself does not have the power to remove Sheriff Hakes. The statement comes weeks after Sheriff Hakes presented his own counter-investigation at the October 10th county board meeting. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Bucks win their season opener. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks won a thriller at Fiserv Forum, the final 118-117 over the Philadelphia 76ers. The Bucks jumped out to an early lead, but Philly came back in the fourth quarter. Giannis had 23 points and 13 rebounds.
We were up, then they came back, then we were up, they came back. You know, I felt we could take care of the ball better, take the game away from them when we were up 18 or we were up 12 or something, I don't remember. But we're going to come back, we're going to be better.
Damian Lillard scored 39 points, setting a new team record for a debut.
It wasn't them telling me, you got to score, you got to do this. It was just, you know, they trust my judgment. They inbounded it to Giannis. I was just kind of reading him like, you know, what you want to do. And he was like, come get the ball.
Adrian Griffin gets the win in his first game as the head coach and gave the credit to Lillard.
You just got a sense during the game he wasn't going to let us lose. What can I say? You know, he was incredible.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. 45 this afternoon under cloudy skies, northwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 26. Chance of snow tomorrow, 34. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 38.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. K. Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and boy, is there a lot of it being made every second of every day, whether you're awake or not. And we're going to get into it right now. I hate to go back to the speaker, and now it's no longer the speaker race. It's this guy, Mike Johnson. Very, very concerned about him. I'm going to tell you a couple of developments. A couple of things. You had this terrible shooting up in Maine, Lewiston, Maine. Guy goes in. Guy's probably somewhat mentally ill. He uses a semi-automatic, and he kills, I think, 18 people. Wounds a lot more. He's on the run. Everybody's locked down. And they asked Mike Johnson, what do you think about that? What do you think about that? And the clown goes, quote, the problem is the human heart, not guns. Well, yeah, in a way, the problem is the human heart. That's why we've had people like Hitler and Stalin, everybody else. And that's why we had to defend ourselves. But letting this kind of stuff happen around the country and only saying thoughts and prayers and the problem is the human heart is irrational, it's immoral, and it's also heartless. It is heartless. Let me tell you something about this guy. When he was first elected, and that was just the other day, yeah, it seemed like a decent enough guy. Nobody knew beans about him. Everybody had to Google him, quite literally. Mitch McConnell said he either never met him or maybe never even seen him. Susan Collins said, I had to Google the guy. The White House was Googling him. Nobody knew the guy, backbencher, only been in about 6 years. The more I look at him, the more dangerous I think he is, and I'll explain why I say that. Well, first of all, we know his history as an election denier. He was one of the guys, in fact, he was the main architect of having the other congressmen, Republican congressmen, 100 of them, sign on to a brief from the Attorney General of Texas, who himself is under indictment. And he's been under indictment for 5 years for various frauds. And the guy is really no good. And the brief essentially said, you don't have to be a lawyer to understand this, essentially said, we in Texas object to the vote in Wisconsin and make the Supreme Court make them change. The last time that happened, they objected to the vote for Abraham Lincoln. A lot of bad stuff happened for 5 more years. Obviously, we're not there yet. This guy Johnson rounded up. There were 100 Republicans who signed on to that brief. And Johnson was the main name because the caption said, Mike Johnson from Louisiana and 99 of his best friends. I knew that. You knew that. We've talked about that before. But he also apparently, and I just found this out, spread the conspiracy that the voting machines in 2020 were tied to Venezuela. That's what Marjorie Taylor Greene and the others said, too. This guy's just a smoother Marjorie Taylor Greene, in my opinion. He gave an interview to Hannity the other day. Hannity asked him, what about Joe Biden? You going to impeach him? This guy's an expert at sort of weaseling around. He said, well, you know, if the evidence shows that he should be impeached, we definitely will. And it does show it. You know, so he'll sort of pretend to equivocate and not equivocate. On Ukraine aid, they said, well, you're going to not give Ukraine aid because you right-wing nuts in the Republican Party for some reason don't want it, simply because Trump doesn't want it, because he's being blackmailed by Putin on the Caprophile video and on bribery. So you all go along with it lockstep. He goes, well, let's just put it this way. I want to split the vote on Israel and Ukraine. No doubt in my mind, he'll oppose anything Donald Trump wants him to oppose. My impression of this guy is that he is a fascist fist in a velvet glove. He's a fascist fist in a velvet glove. And, you know, when Trump really started to arise in his presidency, it was pretty clear how bad he was. A lot of pundits said, you know, I think that what we have to fear is not Trump, but somebody who's a lot smoother and smarter than Trump, who comes along and he disguises it better what he really is going to do. That fits this guy, Mike Johnson, to a T. A lot smoother than Trump. No insults. In fact, he got up in his speech and he's making a self-deprecating remark that he couldn't get his wife to the swearing in because it comes so suddenly and everybody laughs sympathetically. And then he turned to Hakeem Jeffries and he just gave him a real velvet speech. And then he went to Kevin McCarthy and gave him a real velvet speech. And the point is, he can't stand Hakeem Jeffries. Hakeem Jeffries can't stand him. And Kevin McCarthy was knifed by Trump, who put Mike Johnson in. Now, here's a analogy that occurred to me, a disturbing analogy to Germany in the early 30s. Donald Trump comes across as a buffoon, even if he gets elected. He's so transparent, always insulting, doing this and that. But this guy, what do you do if somebody comes along? He looks like an altar boy. I mean, the guy looks like butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. You know, he's an Eagle Scout type looking guy. What that means is he's a Scott Walker type looking guy. Scott Walker was exactly the same, never insulted anybody, pretended to be self-deprecating, and he stuck the knife in every way he can. Now, do I have any examples? The guy's only been in the speaker for a couple of days. Do I have any examples of what I'm talking about? Yes, I do. The first bill, these guys had cooked it up and it was drafted, all set to go. The first bill he introduced, and remember, the speaker determines what gets introduced. Totally. If a Democrat or a dissident Republican gets up and says, Mr. Speaker, I request to be heard, the protocol is he'll say, for what purpose do you rise? And the guy or the woman can say whatever they want. Well, I rise because I want to put this bill in, or I rise to speak, or without definition. He can say, denied. And they got to sit down. And if they start talking, I mean, theoretically, he can have the sergeant at arms drag him out. He won't do it probably, but that's how much power he has. And usually the way it's exercised is when, for instance, Pelosi was the speaker. She would sit down with Hakeem Jeffries and Clark of Massachusetts and all of the leadership and the committee chairman, and they would decide what kind of stuff was being passed. She wouldn't surprise everybody. She'd put it in. If a Republican got up and wanted something, they had best go to her privately and explain what they wanted and why they wanted it. If George Santos got up on his hind legs and said something, she wouldn't have recognized him. Well, that's the way it works, except the guy that Mike Johnson is huddling with is Donald Trump. And a couple of Trump's handpicked Well, handpicked servants. Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan, a couple of them, maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene. And so here's the first bill. It passed 210 to 199, 199 Democrats, 210 Republicans. It was an energy plan. It was partisan. It was the Republican plan. All it did was cut $5 billion in spending from the Democratic climate plan and the tax plan and the health care bill. That bill is already passed bipartisan. Biden will veto it, won't even get through the Senate, but you see what they did. Far from saying we're going to be bipartisan, they immediately go in to change things that had already been agreed to. That's one example. These are Republican positions on energy and water use in particular, but it's the tip of the iceberg. He also put in a bill that cuts rebates to consumers who purchase electric appliances. He cut programs in the climate bill that were intended to incentivize state and local governments to adopt climate-friendly building codes. All this stuff. He just puts in a bill. Let's cut it. Well, wait a minute. This stuff is already passed. We want to cut it. This is not bipartisan. This is not in good faith. This is not doing something with the budget that's constructive. And here is the fly in the ointment. Here is what I'm concerned about. They're sort of probing and testing, passing these bills. They please Trump. Trump is now referring to him as MAGA Mike. MAGA Mike. He is a fascist in a velvet glove. He's a lot smoother than Trump, a lot smarter than Trump, and a lot younger than Trump. And this is the wave of the future, unfortunately, for the Trump movement. What concerns me, the fly in the ointment that I see, is there are some things that have not yet been passed that he can't just say, okay, I'm going to, just for the heck of it, charge the wall and do this, and yeah, Biden will veto it, and blah, blah, blah. No. What about funding the government after November 17? Remember that Kevin McCarthy's extension was only 45 days. It only went till November 17. On November 17, we'd run out of money. On November 17, Marines don't get paid. Navy sailors don't get paid. Army soldiers don't get paid. The Air Force doesn't get paid. Public employees or federal employees don't get paid. We shut the government down. Putin and Xi and Kim Jong-un lick their chops. The Ayatollah licks his chops. And he comes back with a bill, and it's a big haircut, a big reduction of what Kevin McCarthy and Biden agreed to back in April. And let me tell you something. Unlike normal congressmen, remember that passage I read from a fellow named Huber about the Third Reich, where he set out what they intended. They intended to work within the parliamentary system, take advantage of the rules of the parliamentary system, but the parliamentary, i.e. congressional system, relies on some good faith. And all they do is, when they're able to, under the rules, intransigently block everything and continue to press, press, press. So, for instance, Emmer had how many votes? Emmer had something like, 200, a little more. They wouldn't cave to him, but they made the moderates cave to Mike Johnson. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more after the break. Backbiter, tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Love.
Welcome back to Matt and Direct. Thing. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Do not hang up. I'll take you in order. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, you're first. What's on your mind today, Andrew of Detroit?
Hey, Matt. Yesterday I called in and said I was terrified. I've been talking to friends and relatives, listening and reading things on the internet, and I'm a little bit more terrified than yesterday. And I'm thinking the only thing that might save us is because of the testimonies that are coming out of these flippers, the DOJ may start to act on the members of Congress that were involved in the coup attempt, and certainly the speaker would be one of them. The other thing they need to do, and I guess Jack in the DC case has asked that judge in another whatever brief or whatever to do something more about the Orange Satan and his comments. Probably that he needs to be jailed to be shut up. Hopefully she agrees with something like that, if it's true what I'm saying. Anyway, Matt, always want to hear your thoughts.
Thanks. Excellent comments. And before we get to the next caller, I want to say a couple of things in response to Andrew of Detroit. First of all, I think there is cause to be concerned. Initially, he seemed like sort of a Buster Brown, sucky suck type of guy to Trump. And, you know, he's from Louisiana, Shreveport, Louisiana. I have buddies from Shreveport, Louisiana. Claude Reeves, year behind me in school. The Pothorse boys, the two Pothorse brothers, Shreveport, Louisiana, year behind me in school. But the point is, I wouldn't want Claude Reeves and the Pothorse boys as speaker, but they were basically decent guys. This guy is the speaker, and he's the only reason he's the speaker is because they wanted McCarthy and the small Trump faction threw him out. They wanted Scalise, the small Trump faction threw him out. They wanted Emmer, the small Trump faction threw him out. And the reason they could do that is because of such a narrow majority. They're intransigent. They were ready to default after the 17th of November. Then they put up Johnson. And the moderates don't want Johnson. But the moderates are not willing to throw us into default, so they caved. That is the reason why in 1932, Huber wrote that about Hitler's party. And that is, and obviously there are a lot of differences between the two, the Republican Party here and the Nazis back in 1932 have many significant differences, thank God so far. But they have great similarities in how they are operating the parliamentary process. And that great similarity is using parliamentary things to just wear people down and get what they want. And then as far as Trump and the sanctions from the judges, we're going to get to that in a segment. Excellent call. Thank you. We're going to Stephanie, Frank, my friend. It's Stephanie of Madison. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Stephanie?
Hey there. Hi, Matt. I'm just going to take a slightly different approach. I just admire everybody for being so smart and so politically connected. Sometimes I just have to kind of pull back from it a little bit. I find it a little scary, unlike Andrew. But I want to say this. First off, the writer for The New Yorker, who wrote an article, it's in the latest New Yorker for the 30th of October, wrote this article about Jim Jordan. And he was on with on Fresh Air yesterday, and they have excerpts of the interviews. And he said that Mike Johnson is basically Jim Jordan's twin. Okay. He's Jim Jordan in a suit coat. So that's something to really think about. But what I want to say is, this is just, we have to always remember, number one, we've got to pay ourselves first. Okay. If we're going to be effective and active in our lives, we've got to remember who we really want to be. I mean, it's so easy. There are times I just curse these people and I think, God, you know, they're fellow human beings, but, hate destroys.
Yeah. But here's
anyway,
Steffi, let me just jump in for a second. Yes, that's true and all that. We want to be, treat everybody as human beings, but what Trump's people are doing, what Jordan is doing, what Mike Johnson is doing is not moral, is not human, and it's not something we should tolerate, quite frankly. And my concern is that Mike Johnson is a fascist fist in a velvet glove. And by that, I mean, he doesn't have Trump's baggage. You know, he seems to have a normal home life, that kind of thing. He doesn't insult people. He sucks up to them. This is exactly like Scott Walker. Exactly. But then he went in and he signed the right to work thing, busted unions, Act 10. He gerrymandered. They will do that. They will do that. This guy is doing it right now. So thanks very much for calling. Next caller. We have Bill of somewhere, my friend. I can't read this. Where are you from, Bill?
Oh, Connemore.
Oh, no. All right. Is this Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend? Okay. Oconomowoc, I'm sitting out here in the Waukesha studio, and the text is very small. What's on your mind today, Bill?
About Mike Johnson. You know, qualities of leadership. Number one, you get parties to work together. That's number one. Number two, you have a sense of humanitarianism. Number three, you've got a history of writing great bills with both sides of the aisles. Mike Johnson has none of them. He strikes out three times and all of that. So, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. I myself, when I find those people in the real world, I kind of like dealing with them because you know what they are, and you play them like a fiddle. And all of a sudden, when they realize they're being played like a fiddle, they just hide. They run away. Yeah. They run away because they're too embarrassed because they cannot back up. Again, no leadership, no uniting, no working together, no co-writing bills, no humanitarianism. He's got none of it.
Right. No, I agree with you, except the difference is I don't like working with him, especially because he's the Speaker of the House. But thank you so much for calling. And Dick of Madison, we can squeeze in a call before we go to the break. What's in your mind today, Dick?
Real quick, what are the chances that our Johnson is connected to this Johnson as well? You know, I can't even imagine that, you know, Ron Johnson from the Senate, all of things line up. And it won't surprise me at all if they've been in contact with each other in those early days after the 2020 election.
Well, yeah. First of all, Ron Johnson, our Ron Johnson, was walking around with the fake electors in his pocket. That is like a burglar walking around with the jewels in his pocket and he doesn't get prosecuted. I'm not kidding. And this guy was the architect in the Congress to overturn the election, including the Venezuela voting machines, the fake brief out of Texas, the fake electors. And yet the only prosecution of these people is coming from Fannie Willis and Jack Smith and then Dana Nessel, great attorney general from Michigan. Our guys are going scot-free. The burglars quite literally, the jewels were in his pocket. I'm talking about the fake electors in his pocket. Guy doesn't get prosecuted. How bad is that? Well, thanks for calling. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. People in Wisconsin can expect heating bills to go down by as much as 21%. That's according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. A spike in gas prices made last winter the most expensive ever for home heating. Even with the price drop, the Journal Sentinel reports this winter is still shaping up to be the third most expensive on record. Actual heating bills will depend on the weather and other factors. The Wisconsin Task Force on Childhood Obesity turns its attention to diet and exercise today. Doctors with the Wisconsin Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics and SSM Health are testifying today in Milwaukee. So are officials from the YMCA. The task force is looking for new tools, laws, or grants that can help with the public health challenges caused by obesity. I'm Terry Bell. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin residents who use natural gas to heat their homes may see a 20% decrease in heating costs this year, but experts still predict an expensive winter. Historic price data from the United States Energy Information Administration shows heating costs are still expected to be the third most expensive recorded winter. About two-thirds of all Wisconsin households use gas furnaces for heating, but customers who use electric or propane to stay warm could also see a small heating bill decrease. Proposed legislation in the Wisconsin State Senate would shift the financial burden of impounding the vehicles of reckless drivers to the drivers themselves. Currently, law enforcement and residents are bearing the cost of impounding vehicles. State Senator Andre Jacques, who proposed the bill, says people are fed up with reckless driving and the perpetrators of reckless driving should be the ones footing the bill. The legislation has passed a state Senate committee and will soon head to the full Senate and Assembly. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
The Bucks win their season opener. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks won a thriller at Fiserv Forum, the final 118-117 over the Philadelphia 76ers. The Bucks jumped out to an early lead, but Philly came back in the fourth quarter. Giannis had 23 points and 13 rebounds.
We were up, then they came back, You know, I felt we could take care of the ball better, take the game away from them when we were up 18 or we were up 12 or something, I don't remember. But we're going to come back, we're going to be better.
Damian Lillard scored 39 points, setting a new team record for a debut.
It wasn't them telling me, you got to score, you got to do this. It was just, you know, they trust my judgment. They inbounded it to Giannis. I was just kind of reading him like, you know, what you want to do. And he was like, come get the ball.
Adrian Griffin gets the win in his first game as the head coach and gave the credit to Lillard.
You just got a sense during the game he wasn't going to let us lose. What can I say? You know, he was incredible.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreak.
Here's your updated forecast. 45 this afternoon, under cloudy skies, northwest winds, 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 26. Chance of snow, tomorrow, 34. A dusting of snow, tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 38.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
Welcome back to Matchland Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going back to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene?
Thank you for taking my call, Matt, and great show as usual and wonderful callers. I just wanted to call in real quick. Now, thank you. You are an excellent teacher, and we're so lucky to have you every day. I hope it's okay to give a couple of resources where people can get additional information on what's going on the different characters that are taking place and threats to our democracy, and legal papers where you can actually see them.
Absolutely.
And one of them is Brian Tyler Cohen, and the other one is Midas Touch. And there's a legal AF. And you can see them on YouTube. They'll show the documentation, and they'll see everything you say is fact, Matt. And I'd like to bring up one quick thing here. I think we're in big trouble, and unfortunately, I think it's getting worse. But I think together we can all beat this, and by sharing references and knowledge and documents, people can see for their own with their own eyes, because we need to alert the public. Organized crime. Now, Trump is a criminal, and he's in it up to his eyeballs. However, however, there's a wizard behind the curtain. Trump, he's not smart enough to control all of the facets of our government. However, there's either the betters or somebody higher than him that are the legal minds. Like you said, Matt, they're going to take us down legally. And
right.
I really believe that.
Right.
And
Gene, first of all, thank you. So I always love it when you call. And first of all, for everybody, because Gene's called into my show for a long time, and Gene watches everything, reads everything, and knows every detail of all these hearings and everything else. So when she says Midas Touch and the other reference, you can take that to the bank. That's very, very good advice. The second thing is that when it comes to Trump and, you know, the wizard behind the curtain and all that, Trump is a malignant phenomenon. But you're exactly right in this respect, that there are a lot of people out there who are going to school on him. Mike Johnson is one, and Mike Johnson is exactly, in my mind, like Scott Walker was, even though Scott Walker got on the wrong side of Trump. These are people who, unlike Trump, don't insult. They aren't. They don't have unusual sexual proclivities, that kind of thing. But they burrow down, and everything Trump tells them to do, they do, and that's very, very dangerous. So, Gene, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. Now, I want to talk about something else. Another Trump disciple, another Trump fellow traveler and running dog, Tommy Tuberville. This is getting very serious, because we're going to be talking in a bit or another segment about what's happening with Iran and the United States, the attacks on our troops. We're going to talk about a lot of things. But Tommy Tuberville has now blocked more than 350 promotions at flag rank in the Navy, the Army, the Air Force, the Marines, everybody. And here's what that has cost us. In the Middle East, we don't have a confirmed commander of the Fifth Fleet, the Navy, right around that area. We don't have a deputy commander of the U.S. Central Command. Absolutely necessary. That's the command that's in charge of this whole area. We don't have a chief of naval operations, a CNO. I'll tell you what, when I was in the Navy, it was a guy named Zumwalt, Admiral Zumwalt, great guy, who would send these things called Z-grams. In those days, they were sort of like telegram things. There was no internet. And he would say what we were going to be doing, and everybody looked up to him, and I looked up to him. We do not have a head general for the Air Force. And Tuberville, of course, didn't serve. But not only didn't he serve, they said, well, why are you doing this? He said, well, there are too many officers. It's like bureaucrats. We have to cut down the bureaucracy. He doesn't understand the military. What's funny about him is he has a lot of characteristics that he shares with the extreme left and the extreme right. They somehow think that officers, especially senior officers, there's too many of them. They shouldn't be respected and so on. That is so far from the truth, is unbelievable. The average soldier and sailor and Marine and airman or airwoman look up to their leaders. even down to the platoon leader in the Army. They'll look up to their CO of their ship. They want that kind of leadership. They want that kind of guidance. And part of what Tuberville's doing, and Tuberville, by the way, is the guy who said, what's wrong with white, quote, what's wrong with white supremacy? A white supremacist is just an American, end quote. And the other thing he said is the other definition of a white supremacist is somebody who supports Donald Trump, end quote. Now, here's the thing about this guy. He is in there, and yet there were senators not too long ago who demanded that Al Franken get out of the Senate. They were going to throw him out, and he had to resign. He's our best, one of our best senators. They're not doing that to this guy. Why are they not doing that to this guy? He said he's a white supremacist. He's attacking our military. Nobody goes after this guy. They're afraid of going after him. What he is doing, and this is of a piece with what I said about back in the 1930s in Germany, they used a parliamentary procedure in bad faith. In other words, anything that benefited them, they'd take full use of, and anything that was just routine for the other side, they'd fight. This is a thing called unanimous consent. It's not in the Constitution. A long time ago, these 100 senators back in the 19th century, they get together and they go, you know, we're a pretty special group of people. We're a pretty special. It was all guys back then, you know, and they thought they were like the House of Lords. A lot of them were Anglophiles. And the House of Lords in merry old England, they don't have a Senate. Their upper house is called the House of Lords. And these lords are people like, you know, hereditary, back then all hereditary, the Duke of Norfolk, the Duke of Sussex, that kind of thing. And they'd all get together, and then Parliament would pass laws, and then they'd decide if they liked the laws. I'm not kidding. They weren't elected. They'd throw them out. In the 1880s, Gladstone, he was a great prime minister of Britain, introduced Irish Home Rule. Today that may seem pretty, you know, obscure. But back then, the idea was, why don't you, Ireland was part of the Great Britain back then, all of it. But why don't you let the Irish rule themselves? And then, you know, if there's something we don't like, we can tell them, blah, blah, blah. It passed the Parliament. The House of Lords threw it out. And you know what? As a result of that, there was an Irish Revolution and a civil war and a lot of bloodshed. The Senate back then think of themselves, and they still do, as the House of Lords. So they have unanimous consent. And the lords would all say to one another, if any one of us doesn't want something, it doesn't get done. If any one of us doesn't want something. So Tuberville said, I don't want any promotions at the flag level. Rand Paul said, I don't want ambassadors. So we have no, right now we have no ambassador to Egypt or Israel. Are you kidding? Right now, because of Rand Paul. J.D. Vance of Ohio says, I don't want U.S. attorneys, because some of them are prosecuting Donald Trump. So you have assistant U.S. attorneys trying to fill the role. To stop unanimous consent, it takes 60 votes. It's like a filibuster, but one guy's filibuster. We have 51 votes if Sinema and Manchin go our way, and I think they would on flag officers. That means we need nine Republicans to say that Tommy Tuberville is wrong. And we don't have it, believe it or not. Ron Johnson supports Tommy Tuberville. Ron Johnson. Of the 368 officers, more than 350 that he's blocked, 72 of them can't assume their new positions. Something like 25 of them have forced to defer their retirement so that they don't abandon their post. But here's James Risch of Idaho, Republican, quote, if it's serious to the Democrats, they should do what they ought to do. What did he mean by that? He meant that we should one by one, that's the unanimous consent, put up each of the 365 and devote time to debate it. And Tommy Tuberville can talk as long as he wants, and so can his friends. That would take months. Right now, we have Ukraine, we have Israel, we have Gaza. We have running out of money on the 17th. A guy that really disappointed me is this guy Thune, T-H-U-N-E, South Dakota. number two to Moscow Mitch. Moscow Mitch is sort of normal about this, but Toon says, I support Tuberville. You know, we basically, any of us can stop it. Now, listen to this. There is a guy, a general, Mike Hayden. You may remember the name under George W. Bush. He was the head of CIA and also the NSA director at one time. They asked him what he thought. He said, Tuberville is not a member of the human race. That's what he said. Tuberville took offense. But you know what he did? He turned Hayden in to the Capitol Police, said it was an assassination threat. Let me tell you something, Tuberville. You think you're coming to Milwaukee in July, and you're going to strut down Wisconsin Avenue, and you're going to go to our restaurants, and you're going to feel very, very smug about yourself. I don't want you in our town. I don't want you in our town. I don't want you in your kind. I don't think you're a member of the human race, either. I'm with Hayden, very much so. And you know what? I don't want Rand Paul here, either, or Marjorie Taylor Greene, or Matt Gaetz. But I especially don't want Tommy Tuberville. How can you, as a party, remember, they have 49 senators. How can 9 of them, even if they want to pretend to be white supremacists and back to Tuberville and talk to the Trump base, how can 9 of them not say, with 2 aircraft carrier detachments in the Eastern Mediterranean, an aircraft carrier has about 5,000 people on it and a couple of 100 pilots, and a Marine detachment, maybe 2 of them, of 2,000 Marines. They are at risk. Iran is through proxies, launching missiles at our bases. And after November 17, because of the Republicans, unless we take a big haircut on social spending from the deal in the spring, they ain't going to get paid. And their admirals and generals are not getting promoted, or in some cases not being even sent to the ship. This is treason. I don't use the word lightly. A long, long time ago, I had a high regard for the Republican Party. I knew a lot of people in the Republican Party. I never met Dwight Eisenhower, but I thought a lot of him. I did meet Lee Dreyfus. He was a good guy. I met Warren Knowles. I met Tommy Thompson. You could work with them. They would not have refused to pay our Marines and our Navy, an Army, an Air Force. They would not have blocked promotions for our flag officers. Now, what I don't know is why the 51 Democrats don't put in a resolution to get rid of unanimous consent. It's long overdue. We're not the House of Lords. They can do it by majority, and even if the parliamentarian says that they shouldn't do it, they can remove the parliamentarian. 51 senators can do whatever they want, but in no Senate does the majority ever get rid of unanimous consent because they like the prestige. So our recourse is 9 Republicans. We don't have them. Otherwise, we chew up the next 3 months, one at a time, going through well over 350 people. This is naked treason. It's supported by Trump, supported by Ron Johnson, supported by Mike Johnson. And not a single Republican congressman in this state has spoken against it. Not a single one. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Celebrate this Oktoberfest with Walter's Showview Summer Club. Enjoy our special German platter that includes a German sausage topped with sauerkraut and a pork schnitzel. Sauerbraten that is topped with sauerkraut and gravy, and our special Oktoberfest beers and wines. Don't forget to check out our authentic soup and salad bar and our Sunday brunch. Learn more at shoreviewsummerclub.weebly.com or call us 715-268-8774. 715-268-8774. Walter's Shoreview Summer Club. Come and enjoy today.
Football season is back, and no matter which home team you root for, there's one thing everyone in the Midwest can agree on. If you're tailgating or grilling at home, nothing beats a freshly baked Village Hearth bun. An old-fashioned hot dog bun is the perfect accompaniment for a brat or a hot dog and all the toppings your little heart desires. And for the best burgers, you just can't beat the Village Hearth classic bun. So head to the store and pick up some Village Hearth buns. The weekend is almost here.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Mattlin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, occasionally you got to have a little fun. This is something that I think is terrific. Here's what's happened. George Santos was arraigned again today. This guy doesn't quite have the number of felony arraignments that Trump does. Trump is 91. Santos is in the 20s, I think. And I forget if today oozed it up or they already counted that. Not sure. Over 20. New York Republicans are absolutely petrified because they are right there. He's in the news there every day. You read about him nationally. You really read about him in the New York papers. So four of them got together. They interposed a resolution to expel him from the Congress. Now, can they do that? Yes, under the law, it takes two-thirds. So two-thirds of the Congress, two-thirds of 435, would have to vote to expel him. I assume that the Democrats all would, although what would be funny is if they didn't, then he wouldn't be expelled and he'd continue to be a thorn in their side. But let's suppose they'll do it. That would require quite a few Republicans to do the same thing. I will tell you right from the start, I've always been of the view that the Congress and the Senate should not have the ability to expel their members. In other words, as bad as they are, if they commit crimes, then let them be prosecuted and put in jail. And if their constituents don't like it, which they won't, let them choose somebody else. But back, for instance, in the late 60s in the Georgia state legislature, there was a guy named, I think it was Julian Bond. He was an African-American guy and a Democrat, and he opposed the war in Vietnam. That's all he did. He opposed the war in Vietnam. The Georgia legislature expelled him. Went to the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court said, no way, you can't do that. Put him back in. I think, quite frankly, if this Congress expelled Santos, they'd probably put him back in, but it'd be funny to see him do it. Here's the thing. He's being charged with some new counts of identity theft. He would charge on donor credit cards, lying to the FCC, FEC, Federal Election Commission, reporting non-existent loans and contributions that were either fabricated or stolen. That's right. How bad is that? How would you like to have, you know, the clerk read that and the judge is glowering down at you? Now, what's weird about this, the funniest thing about all of these charges against George Santos, in my mind, is not what I just read. But this guy, I have never seen, I've seen a number of interviews of him. I've never seen a guy who is such a sociopath that he would almost lie instinctively when he didn't have to. In other words, he'd make up a lie that he didn't have to. And he was giving an interview to somebody in the Brazilian press, but he was giving it in English. And the guy from Brazil in press spoke very good English. And he said something to Santos like, how do you like New York? Right away off the top of his head, He said, I like it, but it's a dangerous place. I was walking down Fifth Avenue at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man came out with a gun, stuck it to my head, and stole my shoes. This is what he said. The guy from Brazil goes, on Fifth Avenue at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, was there a police report? And Santos said, nah, I didn't bother to file a police report. In other words, he reflexively makes stuff up to kind of be the center of attention, no matter what it is. I mean, no matter what it is. Now, when you look at some of these things that he's accused of, okay, identity theft, just so you know, there are people that are not certain his name is George Santos, because in Florida, he used a different name for a long time, and there are people who think that possibly that really was his name. Now, you can change your name, but normally, if you want to change it, if, you know, credit cards and this, that, and the other thing to be running for Congress, you go to court. And you go into court and you say, Your Honor, my name is Joe Jones and I'd like to change it to George Santos. He says, is there anybody here who objects? No. Bingo, you got it. This guy just uses names. So I don't know if he is George Santos. But the thing about charging on donors' credit cards, let me tell you a little background on that one. I've run for office and occasionally somebody will call up and say, I want to donate, you know, $250, Matt. Here's my credit card. They'll say it to my staff. That's a very dangerous thing. I don't like to have credit card numbers around. So they might take it and put it in, but then they're instructed to destroy the number. What he would do would take these numbers, and you know what he'd do? Then he'd use them, and he'd go out to eat. He'd go to the store, buy himself some clothes. That's what the guy would do. Buy, you know, that is absolute theft. Now, sometimes what would happen would be, okay, the donor would find out and call him up angry, and he'd say, oh, I'm so sorry, somebody else did it, and they wouldn't follow up on it. But some people took it very hard, and that's what happened here. Another way of doing that fraud, David Duke, you may remember him down in Louisiana, David Duke, he was two things. He was a higher up in the Ku Klux Klan, and he was also a member of the American Nazi Party. And he would wear Nazi uniforms, and the Republicans nominated him for governor in the early 90s. They actually did. And George W. Bush, young Bush's father, George H.W. Bush, went there, and David Duke was running against the guy, the Democrat who'd been in prison for fraud. And George H.W. Bush campaigned for the fraudulent Democrat. He said, you got to vote for him. We can't have a Nazi. One of the reasons why David Duke went to prison was because when he would, on his website, say, donate to me, and then there'd be a little box you could hardly read that say, make it monthly. So somebody would donate $100, and then suddenly they'd see $100 on their credit card every month. And some of them would complain, some wouldn't complain, but that's what happened with him. And so some of these characters, some of the more crooked ones in the Republican Party, do this kind of thing. And that's what Santos. So stay tuned on Santos. The four Republicans are in seats that Joe Biden won. Joe Biden won them. Nobody there likes George Santos. They're afraid that in New York, they'll lose their seats. And so they're all ganging up on him. And we'll see if that works out. I have a split mind. I don't care if Santos stays in or not. When it came time to voting for a speaker, yeah, sure, I didn't want him in, extra vote. Now, one vote isn't going to make much difference. But he is a scandal, and he is a black mark in Congress, and he probably should get out of there. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. I'm not just a
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
My name
name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.